So I've seen a lot of gross stuff. This is the LifeSpring 1 Year Bible, coming to you from Riverside, California, and podcasting since 2004. I'm your OG Godcaster, Steve Webb. Welcome. If you're new to the show, I'm so glad you found us, and I hope you like what you hear and you'll be back again and again. This is the daily show where we're reading through the entire Bible in a year, and we're more than halfway through. But you can go back and listen to all the previous episodes at lifespringmedia.com. Most podcast apps probably won't show you the entire season, but they're all there at lifespringmedia.com. This is The Law Monday. We'll read Leviticus 13 through 15, and I'm calling this episode Cleansing a Leper. And instead of waiting until Wednesday for our praises and prayer request time, I'll have an update on Kathy's condition after the fall she and Dell had on Saturday morning. For those of you in the Southern California area, next Saturday, April 15th, there will be a No Agenda meetup here in Riverside at Heroes Restaurant and Brewery at 3:33 in the afternoon. I'd love to see you there, so for more information, go to lifespringmedia.com/meetup. Are you ready to get started? Before we do, let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for our time together. We thank you for bringing us here around your word, and we pray that you would bless us and bless our time as we read. Teach us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now let's get started.
Leviticus chapter 13. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, When a man has on the skin of his body a swelling, a scab, or a bright spot, and it becomes on the skin of his body like a leprous sore, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest or to one of his sons the priests. The priest shall examine the sore on the skin of his body, and if the hair on the sore has turned white, and the sore appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is a leprous sore. Then the priest shall examine him and pronounce him unclean. But if the bright spot is white on the skin of his body, and does not appear to be deeper than the skin, and its hair has not turned white, then the priest shall isolate the one who has the sore 7 days. And the priest shall examine him on the 7th day. And indeed, if the sore appears to be as it was, and the sore has not spread on the skin, then the priest shall isolate him another 7 days. Then the priest shall examine him again on the 7th day, and indeed, if the sore has faded, and the sore has not spread on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is only a scab, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the scab should at all spread over the skin, after he has been seen by the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen by the priest again. And if the priest sees that the scab has indeed spread on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is leprosy. When the leprous sore is on a person, then he shall be brought to the priest. And the priest shall examine him, and indeed, if the swelling on the skin is white, and it has turned the hair white, and there is a spot of raw flesh in the swelling, it is an old leprosy on the skin of his body. The priest shall announce him unclean, and shall not isolate him, for he is unclean. And if leprosy breaks out all over the skin, and the leprosy covers all the skin of the one who has the sore, from his head to his foot, wherever the priest looks, then the priest shall consider. And indeed, if the leprosy has covered all his body, he shall pronounce him clean who has the sore. It has all turned white. He is clean. But when raw flesh appears on him, he shall be unclean. And the priest shall examine the raw flesh and pronounce him to be unclean. For the raw flesh is unclean. It is leprosy. Or if the raw flesh changes and turns white again, he shall come to the priest. And the priest shall examine him. And indeed, if the sore has turned white, then the priest shall pronounce him clean who has the sore. He is clean. If the body develops a boil in the skin, and it is healed, and in the place of the boil there comes a white swelling or a bright spot, reddish-white, then it shall be shown to the priest, and if, when the priest sees it, it indeed appears deeper than the skin, and its hair has turned white, the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprous sore which is broken out of the boil. But if the priest examines it, and indeed there are no white hairs in it, and it is not deeper than the skin, but is faded, then the priest shall isolate him 7 days. And if it should at all spread over the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean.
it is a leprous sore. But if the bright spot stays in one place and is not spread, it is the scar of the boil, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. Or if the body receives a burn on its skin by fire, and the raw flesh of the burn becomes a bright spot, reddish-white or white, then the priest shall examine it. And indeed, if the hair on the bright spot is turned white, and it appears deeper than the skin, it is leprosy broken out in the burn. Therefore the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprous sore. But if the priest examines it, and indeed there are no white hairs in the bright spot, and it is not deeper than the skin, but has faded, then the priest shall isolate him 7 days. And the priest shall examine him on the 7th day. If it has at all spread over the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprous sore. But if the bright spot stays in one place, and has not spread on the skin, but has faded, it is a swelling from the burn. The priest shall pronounce him clean, for it is the scar from the burn. If a man or woman has a sore on the head or the beard, then the priest shall examine the sore. And indeed, if it appears deeper than the skin, and there is in it thin yellow hair, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a scaly leprosy of the head or beard. But if the priest examines the scaly sore, and indeed it does not appear deeper than the skin, and there is no black hair in it, then the priest shall isolate the one who has the scale 7 days. And on the 7th day, the priest shall examine the sore. And indeed, if the scale has not spread, and there is no yellow hair in it, and the scale does not appear deeper than the skin, he shall shave himself, but the scale he shall not shave. And the priest shall isolate the one who has the scale another 7 days. On the 7th day, the priest shall examine the scale. And indeed, if the scale has not spread over the skin, and does not appear deeper than the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean. He shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the scale should at all spread over the skin after his cleansing, then the priest shall examine him. And indeed, if the scale has spread over the skin, the priest need not seek for yellow hair. He is unclean. But if the scale appears to be at a standstill, and there is black hair grown up in it, the scale has healed. He is clean, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. If a man or woman has bright spots on the skin of the body, specifically white bright spots, then the priest shall look. And indeed, if the bright spots on the skin of the body are dull white, it is a white spot that grows on the skin. He is clean. As for the man whose hair has fallen from his head, he is bald, but he is clean. He whose hair has fallen from his forehead, he is bald on the forehead, but he is clean. And if there is on the bald head or bald forehead a reddish-white sore, it is leprosy breaking out on his bald head or his bald forehead. Then the priest shall examine it. And indeed, if the swelling of the sore is reddish-white on his bald head or on his bald forehead, as the appearance of leprosy on the skin of the body, he is a leprous man. He is unclean. The priest shall surely pronounce him unclean. His sore is on his head. Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn, and his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, "Unclean, unclean." He shall be unclean. All the days he has the sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Also, if a garment has a leprous plague in it, whether it is a woolen garment or a linen garment, whether it is in the warp or woof of linen or wool, whether in leather or in anything made of leather, and if the plague is greenish or reddish in the garment or in the leather, whether in the warp or in the woof or in anything made of leather, it is a leprous plague and shall be shown to the priest. The priest shall examine the plague and isolate that which has the plague 7 days, and he shall examine the plague on the 7th day. If the plague is spread in the garment, either in the warp or in the woof, in the leather or in anything made of leather, the plague is an active leprosy. It is unclean. He shall therefore burn that garment in which is the plague, whether warp or woof, in wool or linen, or in anything of leather, for it is an active leprosy. The garment shall be burned in the fire. But if the priest examines it, and indeed the plague has not spread in the garment, either in the warp or in the woof, or in anything made of leather, then the priest shall command that they wash the thing in which is the plague, and he shall isolate it another 7 days. Then the priest shall examine the plague after it has been washed. And indeed, if the plague has not changed its color, though the plague has not spread, it is unclean, and you shall burn it in the fire. It continues eating away, whether the damage is outside or inside. If the priest examines it, and indeed the plague has faded after washing it, then he shall tear it out of the garment, whether out of the warp, or out of the woof, or out of the leather. But if it appears again in the garment, either in the warp, or in the woof, or in anything made of leather, it is a spreading plague. You shall burn with fire that in which is the plague. And if you wash the garment, either warp or woof, or whatever is made of leather, if the plague has disappeared from it, then it shall be washed a second time, and shall be clean. This is the law of the leprous plague in a garment of wool or linen, either in the warp or woof, or in anything made of leather, to pronounce it clean or to pronounce it unclean. Leviticus chapter 14. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "This shall be the law of the leprous person for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall look. Then, if the case of leprous disease is healed in the leprous person, the priest shall command them to take for him who is to be cleansed 2 live clean birds, and cedar wood, and scarlet yarn, and hyssop. And the priest shall command them to kill one of the birds in an earthenware vessel over fresh water. He shall take the live bird with the cedar wood and the scarlet yarn and the hyssop, and dip them and the live bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the fresh water. And he shall sprinkle it 7 times on him who is to be cleansed of the leprous disease. Then he shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird go into the open field. And he who is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes and shave off all his hair, and bathe himself in water, and he shall be clean. After that he may come into the camp, but live outside his tent 7 days. And on the 7th day he shall shave off all his hair from his head, his beard, and his eyebrows. He shall shave off all his hair, and then he shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and he shall be clean. And on the 8th day he shall take 2 male lambs without blemish, and 1 ewe lamb a year old without blemish, and a grain offering of 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil, and 1 log of oil. And the priest who cleanses him shall set the man who is to be cleansed and these things before the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And the priest shall take 1 of the male lambs and offer it for a guilt offering, along with a log of oil, and wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. And he shall kill the lamb in the place where they kill the sin offering and the burnt offering, in the place of the sanctuary. For the guilt offering, like the sin offering, belongs to the priest. It is most holy. The priest shall take some of the blood of the guilt offering, and the priest shall put it on the lobe of the right ear of him who is to be cleansed, and on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. Then the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it into the palm of his own left hand, and dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand, and sprinkle some oil with his finger 7 times before the Lord. And some of the oil that remains in his hand, the priest shall put on the lobe of the right ear of him who is to be cleansed, and on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot, on top of the blood of the guilt offering. And the rest of the oil that is in the priest's hand he shall put on the head of him who is to be cleansed. Then the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord. The priest shall offer the sin offering to make atonement for him who is to be cleansed from his uncleanness. And afterward he shall kill the burnt offering. And the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the grain offering on the altar. Thus the priest shall make atonement for him, and he shall be clean. But if he is poor and cannot afford so much, then he shall take 1 male lamb for a guilt offering to be waved, to make atonement for him, and 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil for a grain offering and a log of oil. Also 2 turtle doves or 2 pigeons, whichever he can afford. The one shall be a sin offering, and the other a burnt offering. And on the 8th day he shall bring them for his cleansing to the priest, to the entrance of the tent of meeting before the Lord. And the priest shall take the lamb of the guilt offering and the log of oil, and the priest shall wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. And he shall kill the lamb of the guilt offering. And the priest shall take some of the blood of the guilt offering and put it on the lobe of the right ear of him who is to be cleansed, and on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. And the priest shall pour some of the oil into the palm of his own left hand, and shall sprinkle with his right finger some of the oil that is in his left hand 7 times before the Lord. And the priest shall put some of the oil that is in his hand on the lobe of the right ear of him who is to be cleansed, and on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot, in the place where the blood of the guilt offering was put. And the rest of the oil that is in the priest's hand he shall put on the head of him who is to be cleansed, to make atonement for him before the Lord. And he shall offer, of the turtle doves or pigeons, whichever he can afford, one for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering, along with a grain offering. And the priest shall make atonement before the Lord for him who is being cleansed. This is the law for him in whom is a case of leprous disease, who cannot afford the offerings for his cleansing. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, When you come into the land of Canaan, which I give you for a possession, and I put a case of leprous disease in a house in the land of your possession, then he who owns the house shall come and tell the priest, There seems to me to be some case of disease in my house. Then the priest shall command that they empty the house before the priest goes to examine the disease, lest all that is in the house be declared unclean. And afterward the priest shall go in to see the house, and he shall examine the disease. And if the disease is in the walls of the house with greenish or reddish spots, and if it appears to be deeper than the surface, then the priest shall go out of the house to the door of the house, and shut up the house 7 days. And the priest shall come again on the 7th day, and look. If the disease has spread in the walls of the house, then the priest shall command that they take out the stones in which is the disease, and throw them into an unclean place outside the city. And he shall have the inside of the house scraped all around. And the plaster that they scrape off they shall pour out in an unclean place outside the city. Then they shall take other stones and put them in the place of those stones, and he shall take other plaster and plaster the house. If the disease breaks out again in the house, after he has taken out the stones and scraped the house and plastered it, then the priest shall go and look. And if the disease has spread in the house, it is a persistent leprous disease in the house, it is unclean. And he shall break down the house, its stones and timber and all the plaster of the house, and he shall carry them out of the city to an unclean place. Moreover, whoever enters the house while it is shut up shall be unclean until the evening. And whoever sleeps in the house shall wash his clothes, and whoever eats in the house shall wash his clothes. But if the priest comes and looks, and if the disease has not spread in the house after the house was plastered, then the priest shall pronounce the house clean, for the disease is healed. And for the cleansing of the house he shall take 2 small birds with cedar wood and scarlet yarn and hyssop, and shall kill one of the birds in an earthenware vessel over fresh water, and shall take the cedar wood and the hyssop and the scarlet yarn, along with the live bird, and dip them in the blood of the bird that was killed and in the fresh water, and sprinkle the house 7 times. Thus he shall cleanse the house with the blood of the bird, and with the fresh water, and with the live bird, and with the cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet yarn. And he shall let the live bird go out of the city into the open country. So he shall make atonement for the house, and it shall be clean. This is the law for any case of leprous disease, for an itch, for a leprous disease in a garment or in a house, and for a swelling or an eruption or a spot, to show when it is unclean and when it is clean. This is the law for leprous disease. Leviticus chapter 15. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, Speak to the people of Israel, and say to them, When any man has a discharge from his body, his discharge is unclean. And this is the law of his uncleanness for a discharge. Whether his body runs with his discharge, or his body is blocked up by his discharge, it is his uncleanness. Every bed on which the one with the discharge lies shall be unclean, and everything on which he sits shall be unclean. And anyone who touches his bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the evening. And whoever sits on anything on which the one with the discharge has sat shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the evening. And whoever touches the body of the one with the discharge shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the evening. And if the one with the discharge spits on someone who is clean, then he shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. And any saddle on which the one with the discharge rides shall be unclean. And whoever touches anything that was under him shall be unclean until the evening. And whoever carries such things shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. Anyone whom the one with the discharge touches without having rinsed his hands in water shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. And an earthenware vessel that the one with the discharge touches shall be broken, and every vessel of wood shall be rinsed in water. And when the one with the discharge is cleansed of his discharge, then he shall count for himself 7 days for his cleansing, and wash his clothes. And he shall bathe his body in fresh water, and shall be clean. And on the 8th day he shall take 2 turtle doves or 2 pigeons, and come before the Lord to the entrance of the tent of meeting, and give them to the priest. And the priest shall use them, one for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering, and the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord for his discharge. If a man has an emission of semen, he shall bathe his whole body in water, and be unclean until the evening. And every garment and every skin on which the semen comes shall be washed with water, and be unclean until the evening. If a man lies with a woman and has an emission of semen, both of them shall bathe themselves in water, and be unclean until the evening. When a woman has a discharge, and the discharge in her body is blood, she shall be in her menstrual impurity for 7 days, and whoever touches her shall be unclean until the evening. And everything on which she lies during her menstrual impurity shall be unclean. Everything also on which she sits shall be unclean. And whoever touches her bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the evening. And whoever touches anything on which she sits shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the evening. Whether it is the bed or anything on which she sits, when he touches it, he shall be unclean until the evening. And if any man lies with her and her menstrual impurity comes upon him, he shall be unclean 7 days, and every bed on which he lies shall be unclean. If a woman has a discharge of blood for many days, not at the time of her menstrual impurity, or if she has a discharge beyond the time of her impurity, all the days of the discharge she shall continue in uncleanness. As in the days of her impurity, she shall be unclean. Every bed on which she lies, all the days of her discharge, shall be to her as the bed of her impurity. And everything on which she sits shall be unclean, as in the uncleanness of her menstrual impurity. And whoever touches these things shall be unclean, and shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the evening. But if she is cleansed of her discharge, she shall count for herself 7 days, and after that she shall be clean. And on the 8th day she shall take 2 turtle doves or 2 pigeons and bring them to the priest, to the entrance of the tent of meeting. And the priest shall use one for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering. And the priest shall make atonement for her before the Lord for her unclean discharge. Thus you shall keep the people of Israel separate from their uncleanness, lest they die in their uncleanness by defiling my tabernacle that is in their midst. This is the law for him who has a discharge, and for him who has an emission of semen, becoming unclean thereby. Also for her who is unwell with her menstrual impurity, that is, for anyone, male or female, who has a discharge, and for the man who lies with a woman who is unclean.
Well, that was a fun reading today, wasn't it? How about no? I'm not going to go into any detail in my comments today. Not because I don't think there's anything of value here, but because I personally find the details on how to deal with leprosy and bodily discharges somewhat distasteful for discussion on this podcast. It's not that I can't handle this kind of subject matter. I've got a degree in biology, and I worked in 3 different emergency medical fields for some time many years ago, so I've seen a lot of gross stuff. I just don't want to discuss the details here. I will say, though, that the Hebrew word that is translated as leprosy in our Bibles today can actually include a variety of different skin diseases, such as psoriasis or ringworm, including what we know today as Hansen's disease, commonly called leprosy. In addition, there are some diseases that at first manifest themselves on the skin but are not strictly skin diseases, such as smallpox and measles. Something else I will comment on in a general sense is in regards to quarantine. Note that even though true leprosy is a horrible disease that ultimately causes death, quarantine was reserved for the person with the disease. The healthy population was not quarantined. Only the person suspected of having the disease and then confirmed with the disease was locked down. For those that have ears to hear, listen. All right. I would also like to share a bit with you from Leviticus 14, 1 through 7, because it sounds a bit strange upon first blush. Let's read it here quickly again. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "This shall be the law of the leprous person for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall look. Then if the case of leprous disease is healed in the leprous person, the priest shall command them to take for him who is to be cleansed 2 live clean birds and cedar wood and scarlet yarn and hyssop. And the priest shall command them to kill one of the birds in an earthenware vessel over fresh water. He shall take the live bird with the cedar wood and the scarlet yarn and the hyssop and dip them and the live bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the fresh water. And he shall sprinkle it 7 times on him who is to be cleansed of the leprous disease. Then he shall pronounce him clean and shall let the living bird go into the open field." Now, you might wonder what this ritual has to do with anything. It sort of seems a bit random, doesn't it? But it's not. Listen up. Leprosy is thought of by many to be a representation of sin. It begins with almost no visible symptoms and is painless in the early stages. It grows slowly. Sometimes it seems to go away and then comes back. The affected area becomes numb. It causes decay and deforms the person to the point where they become repulsive, and eventually the victim dies. Yeah, that's kind of like sin, isn't it? So, this ritual with the birds has to do with the cleansing of the leper, right? Listen, in summarizing the ritual, here's what happens. First, it happens outside of the camp. And then a being from the heavens, the bird, is sacrificed in an earthen vessel. As it's being killed, it is cleansed by the fresh water. The death, which is associated now with blood and water, is applied to the leper 7 times in connection with a living bird. Now the 7, remember, is the number of perfection or completeness. So after that, the sacrificial blood is also applied to scarlet yarn and a piece of wood along with hyssop. And then with the mark of the sacrifice on it, the living bird flies away, ascending to the heavens and out of sight. So, are you getting the illustration yet? Listen, I'll spell it out. Jesus was sacrificed outside the camp. He was the man from heaven. He remained cleansed and holy, even in death, and he became sin without becoming a sinner. He came to the world by water and blood, and water and blood was at his death. He was given a scarlet robe while they mocked him before the crucifixion. He was hung on a wooden cross. He was offered a sponge dipped in vinegar and raised on a hyssop branch while he hung on the cross. When he was resurrected, he bore the marks of his death, and he ascended into heaven out of sight. So when we look at the parallels, it's not random as it first appears, is it? I would love to hear your comments or questions. Call the LifeSpring Family Hotline at +1-951-732-8511 or send a boostergram or go to comment.lifespringmedia.com. Tomorrow will be History Tuesday and we'll read 2 Kings 6 through 10.
Boostagram!
Wayne Henderson of the Packers Fan Podcast, a longtime friend of mine and fellow voiceover guy, sent a 777-sat Striper Boostagram yesterday morning, and he said he is risen. Yes, Wayne, he is risen indeed. Praise the Lord, and thank you for that boostergram, Wade. God bless you.
LifespringMedia.com/support.
Well, how was your Resurrection Sunday? Mine was not quite what we expected it would be. On Saturday evening, Leanne said that she was feeling like a cold was coming on. Runny, itchy nose, sore throat, no temperature, but you know the drill. Anyway, sure enough, when Sunday morning rolled around, she had a full-on cold. So needless to say, we did not go to church. We did watch online, though, and of course, she stayed home when it was time to go to her mom's house for dinner with the family. As usual with these family dinners, it was a potluck thing, so both of us couldn't stay home. We had signed up to bring two different dishes, plus her brother had brought two honey-baked hams for me to carve and then take with us. So I went by myself. And talk about a crowd. I've told you before that Leanne comes from a big family, and yesterday, including the kids, I think there were nearly 40 people crammed into her mom's house, which is not a big house. The food was good, and it's always fun seeing the family. I hope you had a great day. Well, we're not going to do a full praise and prayer request segment here, but I do want to give you a quick update on Kathy. On Saturday night, just before I published yesterday's show, Dell called with the CT scan results. Now remember, she's been on chemotherapy for many years, plus she's been subjected to a lot of radiation in the course of her battle with cancer. These things tend to make the bones brittle, but I would say miraculously, Kathy has no broken bones from the 12 to 15 foot fall they took on Saturday morning, so praise the Lord! When he called Saturday night, Dell said he expected that the hospital would just keep her overnight for observation and then send her home on Sunday. But Sunday afternoon he called to tell me that they were going to keep her for at least one more night because they did see a slight bleed in her head on the CT scan. Now, I don't know where the bleed is in her head, that's all he told me, so there is a small concern there, but they just want to keep her a bit longer to be sure that it doesn't become a problem. So, let's pray about that right now. Our loving Heavenly Father, how we thank you, Lord, for protecting both Kathy and Dell from any broken bones in the fall they took. That is just so merciful of you, Lord, and we thank you for that. And now we just ask that this bleed in Kathy's head will clear up and not be anything but a small inconvenience. And we ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, we will have our normal praise and prayer request segment this coming Wednesday, so let me know if you have a prayer request or a praise. 951-732-8511 or prayer.lifespringmedia.com. Thanks to Sister Denise, Michael Hainer, Scott Snyder, Jason Paschal, today's show art designer, and Sister Brittany, the team. And thank you, beloved, for inviting me to be a part of your day. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. My name is Steve Webb. Bye.